Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message.
You can be seated. You can cry. You can go find somebody who need. If you need a hug, sometimes I just need a hug. Can I get, like, am I the only person who sometimes I just need somebody to sit beside me and remind me that I'm not alone and that I'm not, the season I'm in isn't going to last forever. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. It's whatever you're in, it's just a season. Some seasons suck. Did I say that unpreacher-like? Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you've ever been in a situation that sucks, it doesn't do anything but suck. People say, man, you can't be that honest in church. Can I be honest with you? The only way I know how to follow Jesus is honest. I have pastor friends, I go, man, you're too raw on stage. Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. See, I didn't get into this to be a pastor. I got into this because I love Jesus. And really, I didn't get into it because I love Jesus. I got into it because Jesus loved me in my screwed up, messed up, jacked up state. And then he loved me so long that I didn't have a choice but to love him back. It was kind of like an arranged marriage. No, I'm serious. Like I wasn't. I just needed to get out of hell card when I came to Jesus. Like, I just didn't want to go to hell. And judge me however you want to, but Jesus said I came to seek and save that which was lost. And I put the L in lost. Then the Lord called me into student ministry. And the one thing I said I would never do is be a senior pastor because I'm not dealing with all. Teenagers are easy. They're just full of drama. And if you wait 5 minutes, it's like North Carolina weather. Wait 5 minutes and it'll change. Don't get real high or low. Just ride the middle with teenagers. You'll be fine. Adults. Then the Lord called me to be a senior pastor. And here's the thing. I'm not here because I got it figured out. I'm here because the Lord just called me to a position, and I'm passionately in love with him. And you can follow me if you want to. And that's kind of my church growth strategy. Like, I love Jesus. I love his word. I love to worship him. It's kind of like sometimes I forget we're on camera and I say and do things. And people are like, you can't do that on camera. And I'm like, well, actually, you can. People will just judge you because of it. So this morning's weird for me. So this whole week has been a journey. Is that fair? So my wife, I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail, but my wife's having surgery on Tuesday. Please remember to pray for her. So she's not with me this morning. She's on COVID quarantine. She doesn't have it, which is a great thing. But the whole family can go out. She just can't. Oh, it makes anyway, I'm not a, God didn't call me to be a physician either. That was Luke's job. I'm not a physician. I'm not an EMT. I'm not a paramedic. I know people that do that stuff. I can play the part. I've even got some of the pants, but that's not what God called me to. So it's weird for me this morning. Cause I like my wife always sits in the same spot. She always has water waiting. So I'm drinking last week's water. Like that's not a thing. And like there are little things that you do that you just get used to. Like I leaned over to, cause like right before I go on stage, I always just kind of touch her. It's not like a thing. It's just like, hey, I'm, you know, pray for me, whatever. Because there's unwritten rules as you're together. And so what this season has taught me is never to take something for granted. And sometimes I hate these seasons, but I need them. Anybody ever a bad season, but you needed it? Because it taught you to appreciate things on different level. Matter of fact, our 10th cultural code, we have 10 guiding cultural codes in our church. Most of you guys know this. The 10th one says this, I'll never take this place for granted. Because you don't figure out, you get used to Thrive. And you get used to the people and the spirit that's here and how much people love each other and how much they love God. And then you forget to appreciate it. Until one day you don't have it. And then you're like, oh, I should have seen that different. And so this morning I was really going through the word, and I would, you know, have my own stuff to deal with. And then I've got, you know, we got people's got crazy stuff going on in church, people getting rushed to the hospital and people dying and doing funerals. And it's been one of those weeks, right? And I'm like, Lord, what do I really have to give? Like, you ever you're just tapped. Like, if you ever had a child, man, mamas are going to know what I'm talking about. And you've loved kids all day-ish, as much as you can. And then your spouse comes home and you love them as much as you can. And then you're, like, ready for bed and you're exhausted and you're emotionally spent, and maybe one of the kids was sick. And then somebody comes up to you and asks you for something or gets mad at you because you can't fulfill some need. I don't know, like finding their socks, something super spiritual like that. And you just bust into this emotional moment and go, I don't have anything left to give you. Or somebody comes in with their problem, and like their problem is they've got a hangnail, but you just lost an arm, and like you just want to look at them and go, I don't have time for your stupid. You got this little piddly old problem. But then I wonder, how did Jesus spend 3.5 years doing ministry knowing he was going to a cross? Like, how did you not think about that as a human, being fully God and fully man? How did that not, like, be the thing? Like, when people came up and were like, Jesus, can you come heal my sick little boy? How did Jesus not look at him and go, you know, I'm about to be tortured. Like, I got my own problem. You know, like, everywhere I turn, somebody's trying to kill me. Like, if you really read the Gospels, truth, every time, and Jesus slipped out before they had a chance to kill him. Like, that's a prevailing thing. How did Jesus not ever just look at him and go, look, man, I got my own problems. Go see Luke. I don't have time for you. And that took me to a story. John chapter 6. I'm going to go 1 probably through 14-ish. You don't know. Today, anything's liable to happen. You need to look at your neighbor and say, anything's liable to happen today. Once you look at him again, I want you to say, something's liable to happen to me. Now, the thing that I believe is going to happen to you is the thing that you came in here heavy with, you're going to leave light with. Because here's what happened. After Jesus went away to the other side of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing. A large crowd was following him because they saw the signs he was doing. A lot of times you got people following you that you don't even pay any attention to the fact that they're going to follow you. You ever have anybody ever have somebody imitate something that you do? And then somebody not even that close to you. Like, so I was a youth pastor years ago, and my first full-time church I went to was actually when I grew my first goatee. I can't grow a full beard. I wish I could. My full beard looks slightly like a mange. Like, there's spots it just doesn't grow. And somebody said, if you let it grow long enough, it'll fill in. Well, I've seen bald guys before. That's not always the truth. You can comb it over, but you can't make it look right. So I grew my first goatee, and I had a youth staffer who I knew was, you know, kind of was wanting to go in the ministry and that kind of thing. He was a couple years younger than I was. Well, the next thing you know, oh, and does anybody remember the Rod Parsley haircut?
Oh, yes.
Come forward, flip the front up. That was a thing in the 90s and 2000s. So I had that haircut, and so this guy came on, and he came on as a volunteer staff member, and the next thing you know, he had his hair cut with a flip up. Well, that's not uncommon. It's the 90s and 2000s. Everybody, especially if you're in ministry, that was like the new comb over cut that everybody got. And so he got that. Well, then I grew. I had a mustache, which is weird to go back and look at those pictures. My son has seen some, and he's like, "You're a creeper." But it was cool at the time. It was cool at the time. It's kind of like when I had my mullet a little bit in the back. You know what I mean? It was shorter on the sides, but I flipped it out. It's coming back. Teenage boys now have the big, and we actually would take a circular hairbrush of one of my sisters, and I would curl it and then spray it, and then we'd pull it out so that it fanned more. Come on, some fellas know what I'm talking about. And then I got my green bottle gold top Polo cologne. Wow, okay. So anyway, so one day I come into church, and he's got the same haircut, and the same, he grew a goatee exactly like mine. And then he started wearing the same clothes identically to what I had, and it got creepy. And so I had to set him down. I'm like, dude, what's your deal? We're not twins. We're not brothers. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, you're so confident in what you do, and I've got this train wreck going on inside of me. So what I do is I just figured if I did what you did, then I could be confident. What happened was people saw that Jesus had faith in God to do things that they couldn't believe for themselves and that they couldn't do for themselves. And so what happened was people started following and imitating and emulating Jesus. And it got so much that people saw life change happening in people. So people went and told other people who started doing the same thing. And the next thing you know, a crowd grew. And can I be honest with you? A lot of times imitation and emulation is not a bad thing. There are times I act like God and try to imitate God and try to emulate God, knowing that inside of me, I don't feel any of it. Have you ever pretended like you love somebody? Go to work. Go to work, find the most annoying person you can find and be their BFF. Have you ever tried to befriend somebody just to be nice to them because nobody else liked them? Then you figured out why nobody else liked them, but then you couldn't get rid of them? Because if you haven't, you're probably that person. Some of y'all, I don't know if I'm slow this morning or if y'all are, but that was the most delayed laugh I've ever had in my entire life. Because I think some of y'all just took personal stock figuring it out. So anyway, so you have all these people following Jesus. And here's the thing. If you're here today and you're having to follow Jesus and all you're imitating and emulating because you don't have it really going on inside, it's okay. You'll grow into it. You'll grow into your own faith. You'll grow into knowing that God can do these things in and through you. Now watch this. So this, he said, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick man. People that need God tend to react to God different. In Jesus' day, man, if you were sick, you were ostracized, you were broken on the inside. I mean, sickness wasn't just a physical thing. It affected every part of your body. Now I think that people get sick from the inside out more than they do the outside in. They become broken on the inside, and then ultimately it manifests in all kinds of crazy ways. So these people are following Jesus because they need something. And can I be honest with you? That hasn't really changed in my life. I follow Jesus every day because I need something. I need God's grace, and I need God's mercy, and I need His healing, and I need His protection. And His provision and His restoration, and I need Him. I mean, the reasons I follow God are so dense, I can't say one thing. I know people, I've got pastor friends of mine that I follow Jesus just because I love Him, and I'm like, I don't know that that's true for me. I do love Jesus. That's going to be edited somewhere on YouTube. One day you're going to see me, you know, a little clip going, I don't love Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I love Jesus, but that's not the only reason I follow Him. I need Him. Because at the end of the day, He's still God the Father. He's my heavenly Father, my provider. He still holds all the power. But I'm His son. And I'm with Him, yes, because I love Him, but I need Him. And that's what happens in these people. And then verse 3 kicks up, and it says this. It says, so Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with the disciples, verse 4. Now, the Passover was the feast of the Jews, was at hand, verse 5. Lifting up His eyes and seeing a large crowd was coming towards Him, Jesus said to Philip, you ever had God ask you a question that you can't answer? Now, watch the question He asked. Where are we going to buy bread so that these people can eat? Now, to us reading Scripture, this doesn't sound like a big question. Watch Philip's response. I love this. Verse 6. And He said this to test him for himself, he himself knew what He would do. Can I be honest with you? If God's asking you a question and in a situation and you don't know the answer to the question, God already does. He's not asking you because He doesn't know what He's trying to do in your life. He's asking you because He's already figured it out. He's just trying to see if you can. It's like this. God doesn't ask me how to feed a bunch of people generally. That's like not a question I get a lot. The question I get are questions like this. How's it going to turn out? If God would just not ever ask me that question again, my life would be 80% better. Because when it comes to my finances, sometimes I have to ask God, how's this going to turn out? And really, I think it's more God asking me this question. How do you think it's going to turn out? Sometimes in my relationships, God asks me this question. How's it going to turn out? I love what Philip says. Verse 6. Jesus knows. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get full. Unhangry. He said, man, can I change this from denarii? Because none of us even know what that really means. Like, we can go Google it if we want to, but it really has no context. Can we just assign a number? 2 grand wouldn't be enough bread for these people even to have a snack. Do you hear what Philip's really saying? He's saying something without saying something. Philip looks at him and goes, I don't have any idea how we're going to do this. Can I be honest enough to say that a lot of times we all feel like we don't have any idea how it's going to work out? And can I be honest with you? One of the biggest struggles I have is the fact that I don't know how it's always going to work out. And I have figured something out. I am a control freak. When it comes to my life, I want to control it. I like to drive. If we go somewhere, I'm going to volunteer to drive because I probably don't trust your driving. Because I'm a control freak. Do you know what? Can I show you how deep this runs? Thanksgiving. Anybody's mother-in-law or parent doesn't want you to bring something that you're perfectly capable of cooking because they don't trust the fact that you can make it turn out right. Dads, we do this all the time. No, son, just give it to me. I'll fix it. Your son's 48 years old with a degree. He can probably fix it better than you can. Hand him the drill. But you know what we do? God asks rhetorical questions of us all the time. He'll ask them about our relationship. Because here's the thing. You get mad at your spouse, the next thing you know, you're asking questions. I can sit down to y'all are honest. We got an hour and a half feed. I can do it all day. Or you go to the doctor and you get a report. Or you go to the checkbook or the bank or the job. And then God asks this question. How's it going to turn out? God, if I had 2 grand, I couldn't fix this. If I had 20 grand, I couldn't fix it. Watch this. I love this. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him. So Philip has done chimed in with his brilliance. Philip was, Bobby Bowden went on to be with the Lord, but Bobby Bowden was the best interviewer answerer I ever saw in my entire life. So before one of the bowls, one of his guys was convicted or got arrested for stealing things from Dillard. Some sports fans will remember this. And I never will forget because I was not particularly an FSU fan. My brother-in-law is. And they asked Bobby Bowden, who's the head coach of the football team, said, what are you going to do about, can you comment on so-and-so's theft? And he said, boys, let me ask you a question. Anybody, and he proceeds to tell a hunting dog story. You ever run through the swamp? Swamps are dirty, man. They're thick. They're full of snakes and frogs. And man, you run a hunting dog through there, and he's chasing the quarry. Finally, he gets that quarry up a tree. He said, and those dogs will bark and bark and bark. You know what I'm talking about? All the reporters went, yeah. And he goes, well, there you go. And they laughed and went on to the next question. And I sat down and I recorded it on VHS, if that tells you how old this is. And when my wife came home from work, I said, watch. What did he just say? And she goes, nothing. I said, brilliant. But his story was 15 minutes long. Philip tells a 15-minute story and then goes, see? And the other 12 went, or 11 went. And Andrew said, verse 9. Now, Andrew's known for what? Andrew's the introducer. The only thing recorded about Andrew is Andrew always gets people to Jesus. Now, there was a boy who has five. Andrew says this. He said, there's a boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Now, notice the difference in the conversation is Philip looks at him and goes, man, if we had... it still wouldn't be enough. But what Andrew says is, here's what we have. I don't see how it could possibly make a difference. And I wonder this. I wonder if whatever situation you're in, are you asking yourself the same question? I mean, God, I got a little bit of faith, but I don't even think it's enough. God, I got a little bit of hope, but I don't even think it's enough. I mean, it's so small, it's pointless. You ever just got in a situation and you felt like your world was just hopeless? I mean, you got a little bit, but is it even going to be enough? Verse 10. Jesus said this, have the people sit down. Because sometimes you just need to tell your problem to sit down. Because your problem and your promise oftentimes are the same person. They're the same situation. And as long as you're staring at the multitude and letting it push on you, it'll shove you around. But when you look at... Now, how many disciples does Jesus have? 12, right? One of which... Now, I love the way Andrew was introduced in this text. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, Simon Peter's not recorded doing a whole lot in this story, okay? But I think the shadow of what Peter does is in this sentence. Have the people sit down. That is a job for Peter. Peter's having everybody sit down, in my opinion, looks like this. Hey! No amplifiers, right? They got to be like, hey, sit down. Shut up! Jesus is about to do something amazing. Shut up! So glad y'all are here. Jesus said, now have them sit down. Sometimes you got to yell at your problem and tell it to sit down and shut up because Jesus is about to do something amazing. What's he going to do? I don't know. We'll all see it at the same time. Now, there was much grass in the place. Now, that's not the way you're going to interpret that. Give it about 5 minutes and that's going to get funnier, okay? So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. So they're about 5,000 men. Well, I'm going to say this. Most men, if you're like me, I don't like to travel alone. I don't even want to be here today without my wife, to be honest with you. So arguably, we could say that there are 10,000 people there. Now, if of those 10,000 people, in that time, each one of them only brought one child, you're somewhere in the 15,000 range. We have a problem. We have a problem of biblical proportion. Now, this is going to resonate with somebody in about 30 seconds. You ever just had a problem of biblical proportion? And you just need to tell the voice in your head to shut up and sit down? Because Jesus is about to do something amazing. Yeah, but shh! That's the way my head works. Every time I tell it to be quiet because Jesus is about to do something amazing, my fear interrupts. Can I take it a step further? My lack of faith interrupts. Well, what if God doesn't? Verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves and when he'd given thanks... Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you took time in your problem to give thanks for the little bit that you did have? Like the little bit, I'm not like even talking about finances because that's the quickest place to go to. But like if you're in a broken relationship, when was the last time you stopped to thank God that, well, at least there's still hope because I'm still in a relationship? Or when was the last time that you were battling sickness and believing God to heal you, but you were still alive? You could still talk. You're not ventilated. If you're ventilated, at least you still have brain function because there are some people that... Like, when's the last time you... Maybe your problem isn't that deep. Maybe it's something different. When's the last time you stopped to thank God for what you have inside of you? See, Jesus sets the bar here. And here's the thing. If you don't have the faith to do this on your own, just be an imitator. Do it because you saw Jesus do it. And if Jesus did it, it's probably worth repeating. And you repeat it till you believe it. It said Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. You ever wondered what will happen if you pass out what's really inside of you? Like, rather than praying for more, what happens if you just give away what you have? What if you just take the little bit of faith you have out for a walk? Just exercise it a little bit. And what if you're here? What if you're here and you say, you know what, I really don't have a whole lot of problems. What if somebody needs to borrow the little bit of extra? What if you're just the little boy and you're like, I got something I can give, and I don't feel like it's a whole lot? Can I be honest with you? When I go to be with people, people say, "Man, how do you go somewhere when somebody's dying?" I can't change people dying generally. I mean, if Jesus tells me to raise them from the dead, I reckon I can. But sometimes, you know, it's appointed that each man wants to die. So what do? I hug people because I want them to know it's going to be okay. Man, when I go visit the sick, I just believe God's going to heal them. And you know what? I believe God's going to comfort those who are mourning. I just believe that. What about marriages? You've never seen his marriage as hopeless as I am, as mine is. If I had a nickel for every one of those I've seen God turn around, I could retire. Not an exaggeration. Because I've seen God do over and over and over again in people's physical lives, their spiritual lives, their relational lives, their financial. I've seen God take this stuff, and when they begin to give thanks, when you stop like fighting with your spouse and just start thanking God for the stuff you actually like about them. I love this. You decided to distribute what was inside of you. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. So Jesus starts passing the things out, verse 12. And when they had eaten their fill, Jesus told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments." Please read that next line to me. Read it again. Read it again. So here's the thing. Whatever situation you're in, you need to stir up the gift that's already inside of you and begin to distribute it. But at the end, you need to gather up everything that you're supposed to learn from it so that you don't lose a part of it. Does this make sense to you? Man, I've been through this physical thing. But man, thank God, I was so excited. I did a happy dance, right? Like, I just worshiped God, and I did a little jig when I got the good report. And then, man, I got in my car, and I told four people about it, so I felt like I passed out my loaves and fishes, and then I just went on about my life. But what happens the next time you get sick? Did you gather up everything you were supposed to learn from it? What about when somebody else gets sick? Maybe you're the guy just bringing the lunch. You don't feel like your story's a whole lot, but the testimony. Revelation says this, that Christians overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Make sure that you don't waste any part of it, that nothing goes to waste. Because what was enough to sustain these people and to fulfill these people actually be something that somebody else can live on the rest of their life. Watch this, verse 13. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. Now, there are all kinds of speculations around this. I think there were 12 baskets because there were 12 disciples, and if there was 13, then that would just be weird. But I think that each disciple went because God was trying to build the faith of his disciples through the process and the problems. If they had to carry a bag, or if they had to carry a basket around while they weaved in and out of 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 15,000 people, I promise you this: these weren't little offering baskets that they were walking around with. These were like, you know, 33-gallon trash cans they were walking around with. It was all they could do to carry them. And where else was this taking place at? Yes, it was a grassy area, but it was the desert. Carry a basket around in the middle of the day in the hot, full of fish and bread, you won't forget that moment. But in order for God to do everything he's trying to do in the situation that you're facing, you got to quit forgetting. You can't forget the pain of the problem, because pain creates compassion. Why is Jesus so compassionate about our sin? Because he died for it. He was tortured for it. He can't forget that moment. He can't forget that experience, and that experience drives his passion. Love this. It said, they loaded him up. Now, Scripture, to my knowledge, never specifically says where the food goes. Did it go home with the little boy? Can you imagine the boy loading up 12 baskets worth of fish and bread? Maybe. Maybe some of it went home with the little boy. I don't know. Maybe there was enough left that the 5,000 could have a to-go bag. Because when God brings you out of the problem, He always brings you out of the problem with more than you came with. Verse 14. When people saw the sign that he being Jesus had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who's come into the world. I wonder this. I wonder if you really faced your problem with the little bit that you have, trusting God to do something with it. Like not trying to figure out, because can I be honest with you? I try to figure out what God's doing. Matter of fact, I give God suggestions when I pray. God, you know I need this by the 14th. So if you could just bring it by the way to today, like today by 11. Okay, 11:01. 11:03. God, if you could just hurry and come through. Oh, God, maybe if I go make it happen. Maybe that's what you... What if we sat down in our problem? We said, God, I know this. I know that I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Now I need you to do what I can't do. And I need you to teach me faith. And I need you to teach me hope. I need you to teach me about your power. I need you to teach me. I can read that you'll never leave me or forsake me. But God, can you prove it to me right now? Like I'm not calling you out. Like this isn't contemptuous. This is real. I need you to prove to me who you are. Because until you prove to me who you are, how will I know? Can I talk to married people just for a second? Do you know the one thing that'll flip your spouse out if it happens? My wife knows not. Don't take me to Walmart. Take me to Walmart. I'm probably going to do something that makes Jesus embarrassed that he adopted me. My wife, don't talk condescendingly to her. It won't go well. If you patronize, condescend, or she'll call you. I don't care who you be the president of the United States, and she will call you out and lay you in the shade. She will, excuse me, I'm smarter than that. I'm educated. I'm blah, blah, blah. You're not going to talk to me that way. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. My fault. I know that about. I also know this, that my wife is super compassionate. She's super loving. I can tell you about her. I know what moves her heart. I know what moves. She knows what moves mine. We know that because we've experienced each other for 25 years. Pray for her. The way you really know God is to ask God to reveal himself to you in a way that you really know him. You don't know about him. I know him. I've seen him move. I've seen him heal. I've seen him work. Right? So that when you leave, people can say this. You know what? When so-and-so comes into my life, when pastor comes by me, I know that Jesus lives because I see him living in his life. I've seen him live in his problem. And I wonder this. I wonder whether you're in a hospital room or you're here with a problem or wherever you're at. If you said this, if you said, you know what, I'm going to take my little bit of faith, I'm going to take my little bit of trust, and I'm going to live it out. I'm going to let God multiply it. And I'm going to let a little bit go home with the nurses, and I'm going to let a little bit go home with the doctors, and I'm going to let a little bit go home with the people that I work with, and I'm going to let a little bit go home with my family. And I'm just choosing to be a person that God can multiply, because I don't know how any of it's going to work out. I just know that God will work it out. And when I don't know what God's doing, I'm going to trust who God is. I'm going to trust his character. And you learn character by doing life with somebody. Pastor, I was hoping you were going to pray and all my problems would go away. I think you may need to take a season so that none is lost. Now, do I have time for this? How you go through the problem matters. Don't go through the problem like somebody stole your puppy. You need to go through the problem like you know the God who provides. Old timers used to sing this song. Oh, I'm not even going to do it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hey, come up real quick. You're going to be playing in a second anyway. No. Do you know the song? Well, just sing it then. Oh, wait, wait. Do that again. Go in the mic, though. Go in the mic suit because the people online can hear you. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Stop. Really? All of them? Like all of them? Come on up. Grab a spot. Can we go super old school for a second? I mean, is this okay? Like, you know, I'm like not an old kind of guy. Whether you're watching online or you're here in house, every eye closed. If you're here and you say, you know what, man, I came in with a problem bigger than what I could bear. But I'm going to leave here knowing that I can take care of it because through Christ I can do all things. This is a season that I'm going to go through. I'm going to get everything I can out of it. But then when I come out of it, I'm not going back to it. I'm not circling back around to this. If that's you, I just want you to take a leap of faith wherever you're at, whether you're in a hospital room or you're in a sanctuary or you're wherever. Will you just stand to your feet and lift your hands towards heaven? We're going to do that one more time. I know that this is true for me in the situations that I'm facing. Man, I just need God to do what I can't do. Worship with us just for a second.
A friend we have in Jesus, all my sins and griefs to
Imagine that. You can take all your problems and just deliver them right to your Heavenly Father, who will bear your burdens. He will pick up what scares you. He will pick up what you're afraid of, and He will do what you cannot do. Jesus taught this and said, who can add a day to his life by worrying? Today, my challenge to you is to trust God, to give God the faith that you have, to give God the hope that you have. Put everything that you have. If you were betting, bet it all on Jesus. And then trust Him to come through. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus or you're online, and man, I can't say enough about the God that I serve. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. I want you just to raise your hand. We're going to pray all across this building, all across online. If you want to receive Jesus, I just want you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I accept you into my life. I need you to save me. I need you to restore me. I need you to heal me and make me like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, as we're dismissed, I just want you to know this. Can we close with that song? I just want you to know this, man, that wherever you are, there's a God that's waiting to talk to you, that's waiting to help you, that is waiting for you to cast all your cares upon Him. So we're going to close with that. With that, we'll say goodbye to our online folks. Can't wait to see you next week. Come back and join us at 11 o'clock. And to those in-house, let's just worship the Lord just as we're dismissed.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.